May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation.
Amen.
I grew up in a small town just north of Toronto. And in the evenings during the summertime, all of the children in the community would gather together the community center to play games until it was time to go home to bed. It was a lot of fun, and we played games like hide and seek and tag and baseball, but my favorite game to play was called What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf? To play it, all of the children except one would line up along a line in the baseball field. The person who was it stood on home plate, facing in the opposite direction. When everyone was ready, those of us who were all lined up would yell out loudly, "What time is it, Mr. Wolf?" And the person who played Mr. Wolf would respond loudly with a number. And that told us how many steps we were allowed to take. For example, if Mr. Wolf said 4, we could take 4 steps forward towards a home plate. And the object of the game was to get to home plate before Mr. Wolf yelled lunchtime. Because as soon as they said that, they would turn around and run and try to catch as many of us as they could to put us out of the game. The game continued until all of us were caught or one of us made it to home plate before Mr. Wolf cried lunchtime. It was a game where we had to pay attention, had to keep alert, or we could get caught. 3 times in today's gospel story, Jesus tells us to keep alert, stay awake. He is telling us that something is going to happen and we need to stay awake, stay alert, or we will miss it. But I'm confused. I'm not confused about the language of today's gospel story, where we begin our Advent season with a classic apocalyptic text from the Gospel of Mark. And we have to remember that Mark is writing the gospel at a time when his community's entire world is being torn apart. They have just witnessed the Imperial Roman army coming into Israel and putting down a rebellion. The Jewish temple has been destroyed, desecrating what the Jewish people claimed was the center, the heart of their whole world. The message of Mark's gospel is a message of hope proclaimed in the midst of catastrophe. And to hear this, we need to listen to the gospel from a position of desolation and chaos and bewilderment. We have to listen alongside the grieving victim, the traumatized soldier, the displaced refugee, the heartbroken addict, the exhausted nurse, the mourning spouse. These are the depths from where Mark proclaims his good news. And this makes perfect sense. We need to start a new year in a place that proclaims hope in the darkest places of our world. Where my confusion comes is not in the language that is used today, but about whether we can know when it's going to happen, when Christ is going to return in glory. Is it possible to know this? The image of the Son of Humanity coming on clouds are a clear indicator that the end is coming. A new breaking in of God's work in this world is on its way. How fitting then, as we begin this Advent season together, that we are reminded that this time of preparation is not just the pre-Christmas period, but a time of recentering in the preparation for the return of Christ in the here and the now. You're not merely planning for a cute little baby to be born in Bethlehem, but we are also preparing for the recreation of the world when this baby returns as a full grown-up. And it is easier for us to think of Advent as a time to get ready to replay the birth of Jesus than to think of the sky opening and a decidedly older Jesus returning on the back of a white horse. We have routines to prepare for Christmas, traditions, songs, dramas, stories. But preparing for Christ's return is a bit less obvious and much more ominous. What stories do we tell? What songs do we sing? What actions can we take to get ready for Christ's return? Can we even know when this will happen? The first four verses of our gospel today offer a poetic and apocalyptic picture of what will happen in those days. While I know the moon does not give its own light of its own accord, and I can learn the cosmic rationale for stars falling from the heavens, this imagery still serves the purpose of pointing towards some catastrophic event. These signs are recognizable, so one might presume to be able to know and to prepare for Christ's return. The parable that Jesus tells about the fig tree seems to underscore this ability to recognize the signs that point to the coming of Christ. The fig tree indicates when summer is coming. Tender branches appear and the leaves start. In like manner, Jesus suggests when we see the apocalyptic images that is offered in today's gospel story, we know that Jesus is near. Now, if our gospel ended there, I don't think I'd be confused at all, as it seems very clear that we can read the signs and know when to be ready, to be alert for Christ's return. But the passage doesn't end there. In what feels like a complete 180-degree turn, we hear that no one knows the day or the hour. We just have to keep awake, stay alert, so that we can be on our guard for Christ's return. We need to stay ready so that we don't have to get ready. This is a call to a certain way of life, a call to a deepening of discipleship forged in the urgency of Christ's imminent return. This kind of urgency is a great way to begin Advent, with a message that picks up on the tone that calls us to a renewed sense of urgency to live out of the kingdom of God in the world today that is in desperate need for Christ's inbreaking. Yet living in a constant state of alert does not sound like a desirable or a healthy way to live. And I'm still confused as to whether we can read the signs and know when all of this will take place. Do we have a chance of figuring it out? Or is it simply a declaration to remain in a constant state of alert, staying awake all the time? If it is, I don't think I can do it. Our bodies are not made to be in a constant state of awake. Our bodies and our minds are not intended to remain in a state of intense readiness all of the time. Yet here in the gospel story, we are instructed to stay awake, to keep alert. We don't want to be caught sleeping when the Christ returns. But how can we stay up all of the time? Yes, I know that this is not to be taken literally, yet wrestling with the gospel includes trying to come to terms with what a constant state of alert can look like. But upon a second glance, it seems that Jesus' final story may shine some light on how we can manage to remain alert all of the time. At the end of the story, Jesus gives an example of servants working to take care of someone's household. Everyone has their job, including the doorkeeper, who is to watch the door. And the reason the household can be ready for the master to return is because everyone is working together with their own jobs in community. And together, they can stay alert. The way that we kept the game of what time is it, Mr. Wolf, going was to help each other out, making sure that everyone stayed alert to what Mr. Wolf was saying. And when we heard those words, lunchtime, we yelled and we grabbed onto each other and made sure that everyone made it back to the home base line safe and sound. So it is with the coming of Christ. It is in community that we can stay alert. And as Advent begins, may we stress the importance of preparing in community, of watching in community. Because while we might be confused individually as to whether we can know the signs or whether we have to be constantly awake, when we live in community, we can figure out how to live in that tension and make our way together through it all.